not good enough. I want it to be assaulted.
I want it to be.
I feel left out.
I feel left out, yes. It's just the cash grab. Everybody gets onto something. All right. We now resume our regular program. No, what does John Cleese say? And now for something completely different.
Different. Something completely different. You could not do Fawlty Towers today. You could not do Monty.
Oh,
you
God,
could not do any of that today.
Basile, yes.
Yeah. Did you ever watch any of that?
Oh, it's so funny. Cleese is brilliant, yes.
All the lost humor, man.
Yeah.
Now today we have to be careful about what we say.
Oh, tell me about it.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. There was good old humor. I love that they're still
fucking. What do you want to wrap up like this show?
I don't know. We're done.
No, we're not done. We're enjoying ourselves on your boat. The sun is setting.
Will you talk about, educate me now? I mean, what's happening in the construction world? I only know one little tiny bit of what I do. I don't.
What's happening? I honestly believe that the construction industry today is changing, not for the better.
Agreed.
I think what's happening, I don't think we will have old tradespeople 30 years from now. Whatever amount we have right now.
I'll talk to you in 30 years.
Talk to me in 30 years. I'll have you back on the show again in 30 years.
Listen, bucko.
I think it might not be on a boat. It might be somewhere else. Yeah, but, you know, I think that I think they're going to give up a lot more easily than fight for it.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think that's the sense that I get. I don't think this young generation has the heart to fight. I'm not being a prick. I'm not trying to be an asshole about it. I'm just, I think the pressures of society are dictating to them that they should be making a lot more money, and they honestly cannot make it in construction, which I 1,000% disagree with. I think, as you said before on previous shows, you need to find that client. You need to find... I mean, this could offend somebody, but I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and he's a contractor, and he was telling me that a crack addict will always learn how to find crack.
Exactly.
So if you want to be a good tradesperson, and you really care about the trade that you do, and you want to be an artisan, and you care about the craft that you create, you will find the clients that will appreciate and will pay you for your service.
Yeah.
But you have to do the hard work. Like door knocking, like you have to pound the pavement, you have to go speak to clients, you have to do all that sales stuff that you did in your early days. You have to do that. And today's generation is refusing to do that because they feel that it should be left on their doorstep.
Yeah.
That's my thought process of construction today. For me, speaking to people almost 7 years on this show, for me being in construction for 15 years, me seeing it myself through other tradespeople, I've watched a lot of young, talented people grow, build businesses, and I've also watched a big portion of them decide on a second career option. Now, most part, it's connected to construction somehow, but it is not what they're doing, so they're not going to be swinging the hammer the same way that they started swinging the hammer. And that's what I think is going to happen, and then we're really going to have a problem in the industry. And unfortunately, I do see the Elon Musk idea of robots and prefabrication and modular becoming the norm.
They do.
Lifeless, soulless dwellings. If you think the dwellings of today are bad, the dwellings of tomorrow are going to be horrific.
Yeah.
They're probably going to 3D print pods. Like, it'll just be, what's that?
Like, what do you do? AI? You're going to basically prompt the AI to go, give me a little bit of heritage. Give me a little bit of historical.
Oh, dear God.
Give me a little bit of culture. Give me a little bit of soul. And we can only assume what AI is going to translate that to.
Something hideous, I think. I mean, on some of the photographs they make, it's fascinating, but it's outlandish, too. It's impractical, but I can't imagine. No, I really think it's going to end up like a Star Trek interior. It'll just be very simple, plain Jane, devoid of anything.
Very,
it's going to be very functionality, yeah. Usability,
devoid of soul,
100%.
Devoid of
and you know, it gets to, for me, it's again, my biases come down to boundaries and expectations, right? The boundaries and expectations of getting in this industry, continuing in the industry, staying in it, and saying no. Like, this is not acceptable.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I don't want. This is who I don't want to work with. Mm-hmm. I don't want the usability. I want this, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about this earlier. I mean, how many times you've had to say no to somebody along the way?
I just refuse, yeah. I don't want to waste.
Construction's not doing that today. They're like, no. Say yes to
they're
everything.
They're too nervous.
Because I want to grow, or I need the revenue, I need this. And
they're too nervous.
Without boundaries and expectations, people break. Then we have broken human beings. And we have broken human beings. Of course. We've got nothing left. Yeah.
Well, it's the difference between building a tract home and building a custom home, or buying a steel door for a front door, or making one. At the end of the day, the market, if there's a demand for it, people will want certain things. So it's either, if we lose a lot of tradespeople, it's going to mean that there's probably just the good ones left.
I agree with you on that.
And maybe they'll be in demand.
What I'm nervous about is what's going on right now. You're getting an influx of immigrants coming in, and they are coming into trades, and they're not doing a good job.
No, they're not. No.
They're not doing a good job. I mean, not the same way that the immigrants from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s came in.
I get it.
They realized that was the only thing they could do, and they did the best job possible. So they can get another week's work, another month's work, another year's work.
Yeah.
And they got better. And they perfected it. Today is about just getting the money in and just running, right? Mm. I mean, my neighbor recently did his driveway, fully concrete, stamped on the ridge, on the edges, staircase and everything, for $15,000.
Oh, my God. How?
And he was very proud of the fact that this is what he paid. And I watched the work unfold. And I'm not an engineer. I understand Canada. I have a funny feeling that slab is going to crack. Mm. It's going to shift. I think it will move maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 years.
Mm.
And that's what you get
surprised.
For $15,000, right?
Not be surprised. And then it's more expensive to jackhammer it out and redo everything. Yeah.
So that's where it's like, so you replace the workforce that we don't have here. We don't home grow. Europe and the UK, you get schools of thought where you become artisans. There's schools that actually teach you to hone the craft, right? Yeah. And I've said it on the show before. Canada needs to have that. We should have one East, Central, West.
Yeah.
A premier school that other people from other countries can come to Canada to learn how to build log cabins, to
Absolutely.
Build sustainability, to build historical, to restore. Like, we should be doing, we're not doing any of that.
No.
If we did that, we would invite the right people to come here, and then they would want to build here.
I've been asked many times to just teach, to just...
You want to?
Hands-on. Well, it's... No, because it... I want to teach organically. I want to do it just...
You need to be on site.
I want to do things. And yeah. I don't want to be confined to, this is how we make a plaster molding, or this is how we make that. Like, that. Then you lose the... You've got to have the on-site...
You have to apply it.
Here's what's original, and here's how we're going to, you know, seamlessly blend that into place without the roof collapsing on us or something, like, right? Things like that. But you're right, we do need something. We have Algonquin College in Ottawa, which teaches a lot of trades, but then they've got a post and beam trade. But to me, that's all very rudimentary. They're not making plaster
molds.
Never
advanced.
Moldings.
They're not challenging.
Mike at Bonneville does a great job. He makes these plaster moldings and things the old-fashioned way too, and it's lovely. Like I like how that's done. But that's a production facility. Me, I just do the one-off of to restore, repair something that's of significance.
But you're doing the one-off based on how it was done.
Yes, and matching
you're not doing
that.
You're not doing a one-off.
I'm not putting it into a condominium or something like that.
Yeah.
Because that's a different thing. I would buy a plaster molding from them or something, right? And because it's and then glue it to the ceiling.
Do you know about the new rules regarding wood-burning fireplaces and gas fireplaces and building code?
It's crazy.
They got rid of all of them.
It's nuts.
They're forcing you not to have that feature.
Because they want you dependent on hydro and yeah.
But just, I mean... Beside the point of a wood-burning fireplace and the purpose behind it in a dwelling, the possibilities of creativity regarding mantles and brickwork, soldier corps, or herringbone.
Gone now. Disappeared.
Like yeah. that to me, you talk about when you enter a home, there should be a reflection of the person who lives there.
That's right.
That fireplace will be.
That mantle
should be. 100%. It should be.
Yeah. It's funny you mention that because a lot of what I do is take out the tract home mantles and put in a proper.
Yeah. I hate the ones that they did. It's hearting. Like I can't stand hearing we're going to get rid of wood burning fireplaces and now we're getting rid of gas fireplaces. I've never been a fan too much about gas fireplaces. I'm definitely not a fan of electric fireplaces. I don't care how you think they look pretty.
No. The whole point of having alternative heat is that when the hydro goes out in this godforsaken country, you have an alternative heat source.
Does the government not understand thermal mass?
They just want you to be dependent on them, period. Period.
We want to be. I would set up a school where you can teach these kids how to build log cabins.
I feel like we're living in the Hunger Games. Put everybody in a tower and we'll turn off the hydro if they don't behave. That's what I feel. This is just the Hunger Games kind of mentality. Every tower I see going up, that's District 9. That's, you know. Really?
I never watched it. I heard about the premise.
No, but it's the concept behind it. Yeah. It's Atlas Shrugged again. It's the very idea of keep control over everybody.
Did they have a tradespeople team?
What?
Contractor team? In the kids? No?
Where?
In the Hunger Games.
Oh, no, not at all. Everybody was just wandering around, you know, waiting for government to feed them.
That would be interesting, though, if you had a team.
I haven't seen all of it.
You had a plumber, episode. You had a framer, you had a concrete, you had all the trades there. I wonder how far they would make it. They'd probably excel, eh? Possibly
I think it was in Reagan's time when, I think it was the city of Pittsburgh that they got fed up with the... for want of a better word, the welfare housing, it was just constant maintenance. Everybody would vandalize everything. They'd kick in doors, and of course, the city would have to keep going in and repairing everything. And they finally said, you know what? Not doing it. You guys own it. You're going to make your own co-op. And if you kick your door in, you're going to pay for it. You're going to fix it. Guess what? They stopped vandalizing. Because the neighbors would beat the crap out of the guy that went and kicked everything in. And you're going to take care of this because now it's coming out of our pocket. And that's what happens. Your community building. It's like you've just destroyed our... And that's what needs to be done here, too.
How do we do that? How do we get communities...
Well, everybody has rights and I'm entitled to a free home, basically. It's ridiculous.
That's in the charter.
It's ridiculous. So you've got to give some ownership. If people... You don't have revolutionaries if everybody has got a piece of their own property and has, I don't know, something they've worked for. And paid for, they're less liable to be wanting to destroy something. But all the looters that go around with their protests and burning other people's businesses and things is because they don't have any money invested in it.
How well would a program go if you offered it to Canadians where we'll give you X amount of money, you get to build your own house? You find a parcel of land. It doesn't have to be in a populated area, but... You're given a parcel of land, you purchase it, and they give you money to assist you in purchasing and building your own house.
That's how Canada was built. I mean,
that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
They
gave vast tracts of land to people and go to Manitoba. I mean, like back a century
I think
ago.
You would have a lot of people building their own homes, looking forward to it, reaching out to people like us and people in the industry that spoken highly about the industry to assist us, them. And then lots of people would have dwellings.
But that's not, it's a top-down structure now. So government's going to build what, you know, how many, 1.5 million homes in 10 years? Yeah, impossible.
It's impossible.
It'll be a government committee. They'll get two done.
It'll be I don't even know what the numbers are.
It'll be $10 million for two houses. And
well, we know all of pre-con
because stuff. We don't know the true agenda either. Right?
Like, about?
Well, what's the real hidden meaning behind it? If you go back decades or centuries... The government was giving away land and money to say, come and farm the land and learn agriculture.
Well, that was nation building.
And that's what occurred.
Yeah.
Right?
They wanted to build a nation.
Yeah.
You know, MacDonald's dream was to connect British Columbia to the rest of the nation and built a railway and said, now we have to populate it. So we're going to give you land. You're going to create a nation. That is nation building. And that's what they did. But not now.
But you need to rebuild this nation. So if
we
anything,
do need to rebuild this nation, but they want to rebuild. They want to tear it all down, in terms of the entrepreneurship end of it. And they don't want independent people that are going to have their own land and be independent. They don't want that.
Well, he recently made that proposal where he wants to lease the land to people.
It's outrageous.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to purchase a home on leased land? That's a McDonald's.
Wow. No sense of ownership again. You're just stuck with, yeah. You're just a cog in the machine.
Why am I motivated to care about building a home?
You're not.
I'm not, if that's the situation.
Legacy.
Yeah, exactly. And something Why down. Am I care? Like, I don't care about that anymore.
No. You will own nothing and you will be happy. That's Yeah, except we're not bloody happy. And that's that World Economic Forum quote, which I can't stand that.
Are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL's social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details, or DM us through any of the social platforms, or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more, and consider being a TAP member today.
It goes against everything we stand for in our civilization, of having something that you can create yourself and make your own wealth, make your own life, and be independent. Now we're living in just a homogenous design, and you see it in automobiles, everything. No, there's no desire now to own a certain car like there used to be, because they don't want you. They don't even want you to have a car. They all look the same. If it wasn't for the mark on some of these vehicles, be it...
you wouldn't know which, the badging, you wouldn't know.
No, yeah, exactly. Well, the mark, M-A-R-Q-U-E, is the old word for the badge, yeah. You wouldn't know what it is. They're all just bubbles. I mean, put a Mercedes SUV beside a BMW, I mean, I'd have to look really close. What's it? But as you spoke of earlier with the Heritage Automotive Museum, distinct vehicles. You know, you knew a Cadillac coming. You knew a Jaguar coming. You knew, like, instantly. But not anymore.
Well, it's still fun. I mean, when you see classic cars, 50s and 60s and 70s, you're like, oh, I know what that is, right? You know, there's a 57 Chevy. That's not, it's 57, it's not a 55, because in 57 it had this change to it, right?
That's right. So who did that again? Government. Oh, we want to have, you know, aerodynamics so that it saves fuel because we're saving the environment. And it's just absolute hogwash. I mean, they could make carburetors and that will get 80 miles to the gallon, but they're always suppressed. You don't want that.
Oh, I know we can make internal combustion engines more fuel efficient. We know that we can do that.
They don't.
The fuel industry... I refuse to call it the fossil fuel industry.
No, it's not fossil
fuel. It's the fuel industry doesn't want to do that, or they're not fighting hard enough for it, I guess.
They need consumption.
There's lots of scary things going on. Like, I mean, when we saw Big Tobacco turn around and start buying food companies.
Oh, tell me about it. You can't even eat proper food anymore.
No.
It's GMO, this and that. But again, if everybody's living in condo towers, they can't have their own kitchen garden. They can't grow tomatoes. They can't...
You're forced to eat food.
You're forced
to
buy, you know, $10 a pound butter. It's outrageous. The whole thing is, it's really depressing in some ways. And I don't mean to be depressing, but it just gets to a point where people will have had enough when they get hungry. Then things will change because people get angry when they're hungry. They get very angry.
How are your children treating it? How are they reacting to it?
Well, they're adapting. They're not happy about it. They don't like that they're working so hard to not have much money.
Basically is what's happening.
Yeah. I think there's a real problem with this younger generation that doesn't have hope. They've lost hope.
It's been taken away.
Yeah. There's no dream of, you know, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to buy a car. Well, the cars only last 3 or 4 years and then they have to be thrown out. You drive them into the ground, you can't fix them. I had a minivan, a Chrysler minivan. It was running great, but then the computer went on board and it just killed the whole car.
Sure.
You can't fix it because it's electronic. And it's going to be $10,000 of it. Well, it's not worth fixing.
That's exactly what they say.
It's not worth it. Everything is designed to fail. You know, honest to God, my dream vehicle is to go back to a 1976 Chev half ton with just a 350 in it that doesn't have any electronics.
Forever.
Yes,
exactly. Back in the day when it was good old Bob Seger and Like a Rock.
Exactly.
That's it.
They'll just last forever. They don't want that.
And all you kids who don't know what I'm talking about, look it up on YouTube.
Yeah. Why this boat has lasted so long? Because there's 318 Chryslers in there with a distributor cap and spark plugs and no electronics.
Carbs.
Runs forever.
That's it.
Runs forever. There's no sensor to tell you that something's, you know, wrong somewhere. There's no electronics. There's no software. Lasts forever.
Someone was telling me about all the John Deere. John Deere is in a massive class action suit right now because the way they've changed all their machinery is so electronic that if it does break down, you can't fix it. You have to bring out a service tech.
In a field in Alberta.
When the old John Deere's, if it broke down, you raised up your sleeves and you tinkered away.
Yep.
Okay, but so now two things strike me, right? One is, do people still know how to roll up their sleeves and tinker away? I'm not so sure the culture still
says
that.
It's the question of when you open that up, it's not just an engine anymore. It's a computer. It's
exactly.
And to that point is, have we become so expectant and expectant of the creature comfort things?
Of course.
That do we go back to, you know, that big block V8 or, you know, my four-cylinder turbo is going to still get me 250 horsepower like a big block V8 used to. Right? So there's creature comforts that our societies are suppressed to say, this is what it is. This is what you're supposed to, this is what you're going to stick with. Trade your car in 3 years, 4 years and move on.
Well, you're shunned if you don't want to save the planet these days. And they think they're saving the planet by... I mean,
the
people
planet
that come
doesn't
out in,
need saving.
People that come out in plastic... I know, that's right. People that come out in plastic paddle boards to protest Exxon. It's like, really? Hey, you're in a petroleum-based
product.
And you're on an iPhone.
You required petroleum to make that product.
God almighty. They don't.
Do they not realize
everything
that?
Is petroleum, yeah. Yeah. And the Starbucks delivery truck belching diesel going downtown so these people can have their latte. They don't think. Oh, boy. And everybody says, oh, we're shopping online, we're saving the planet. No, everything's coming on great diesel ships across salt water. There's a carbon footprint. Arriving at
That's
a port.
That's not measured.
Arriving at the port of Montreal, going on a train belching out diesel, going to transports belching out diesel, it's a ship door-to-door. The amount of door-to-door delivery now has increased the carbon. But, oh, no.
The amount of vehicles, delivery. Yeah, coming back to the house once, twice. No order. Put one order. Put another order in.
Canadian lumber shipped to China, turned into plywood, and shipped
back
here.
To Canada.
Are you kidding me?
We lost
BC fur mills.
We closed down. We closed
so that we can ship it to China. It's outrageous.
We have so many trees.
But the media won't touch that because they're lapdogs of the bloody.
We should have a thriving industry on every level. On
everything.
Country. Everything. Fuel, lumber, fruits, vegetables, anything, everything.
And I don't think Danielle Smith in Alberta is doing enough to fight back and just to say, like, enough. Like, of Alberta.
You thought Alberta was kind of the Florida, Texas.
The last bastion.
Yeah. Right.
And
Canada.
She seems to be just like.
She was barking a little bit, but now she's gotten quiet.
And I don't know why. And that whole thing about the Coates 4 being, you know,
elections
detained.
Are coming.
Just let them go. Let them go. All of it. Like, it's just trumped up charges for everything under the sun. She's supposed to be standing up for freedom. And so they talk out of both sides of their mouth.
Is it true that the firefighters were told to stand still and not help out on the Jasper fires?
Well, I don't know about that for sure. I mean, I'm not privy to that, but I'm sure they were.
Gilo or whatever.
How many arsons have been committed? Oh, it's the wildfires from climate change. No, they're not.
That's horse shit.
It's arson.
There's no such thing as climate. I'm sorry.
There's no such thing as climate change.
We
have natural climate change because our solar system...
We reduce our carbon print just by getting rid of all the politicians.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of hot air gone.
Yeah.
But people don't study basic astronomy. We're in a solar system that has four seasons, and every 27,000 years it rotates, and we're approaching the end of the autumn of this solar system, and we're moving into winter. I mean, we've had ice ages and little ice ages and big ice ages, but that's just normal. That's what happens.
Because it's the record-keeping referencing that I don't like. Yeah. You're referencing the last 100 years.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they don't look to thousands of years ago. And the first study of architecture, because we're talking about construction here overall, is the study of the great monoliths. And you go back to the Sphinx, which is easily 10,000 years older than the Great Pyramid. Why? Because geologists have looked at it and said erosion. Look how much it's eroded compared to the stones around it. It's easily 10,000 years older. If the Great Pyramid is 5,000 years old, so what happened, you know, 11,000 years ago to make everything stop? There was a great climate change, a great cataclysm.
Yeah.
And we see it in geological records. But historians will argue with that. But geology doesn't lie. You
know, there's evidence there.
Total evidence. But government suppresses that again. But we had all these warnings that we're living in a natural cyclical climate. I mean, like we have four seasons every year. Our solar system has four seasons. 27,000. I think it's 26,500 years or something. But roughly 27,000 years. People don't, astronomers know this. Everybody knows it, except they don't teach that in relation to climate change, because you can't tax that. Remember when Al Gore said we were all going to be underwater?
Oh, I remember that.
That's right.
I mentioned that recently, where in high school we were told the hole in the ozone.
But do you
and we were told the ice age.
Do you
right?
think the great Lloyds of London would insure any building past 30 years?
Of course not.
Or mortgage it if they thought that London was going to, or even any of the Low Countries, be underwater.
Why would we do that? We're
going to
lose.
They're not going to risk it. They know damn well. And why does Obama live in Martha's Vineyard if the oceans are going to rise? You know?
Most wealthy people live on coastal lines that are supposed to be above them right now. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I know. We know all this stuff.
You right? know it all better than I do because you're online more than I am. But it's just common sense for me. I mean, I look at these things to... risk assessment and anything, right?
But you were just in...
But what's behind it?
In Florida. You were recently in Florida.
Yeah.
We had the hurricane there.
Two hurricanes back to back.
Back to back.
Yeah. Only in the red states did I say that? Is that HARP? Is that weather modification?
Yeah. There's something going on up there.
Cloud seeding, aluminium particles in the air.
Something's going on.
All of it. You create unrest and create chaos, and then you can impose your
will. That's right. See, there was a recent discussion around the hurricanes to say, and this was around the dinner table, because most things are around food. Mm. You know, with all the technology in the world, why can't we put some sort of a nuclear bomb up in the sky to derail the hurricane from coming to land? Keep it out in the ocean and let it do that, right? And there's all these philosophies that came up around this conversation, and I mean, my philosophy is because they don't want it to occur, because they want it to come in. Why? Yeah. Because it creates dependency, it creates destruction, fear, and now dependency.
And government will save you.
And government will save you, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
When it wasn't like that, it was like human.
It's the burning of the Reichstag thing. Hitler had to declare martial law because they burned down the German parliament. Well, it was arson to create the fear. It's the same principle, just at a larger scale, right? Is that what you mean? Like,
yeah.
Governments.
It's just it's a control mechanism.
Yeah, very much so. Is this thing proper? Here we go.
This thing on? This thing on, Otto?
I don't know.
It's on.
Hello? No, it keeps moving and I don't... My cigar gets in.
What are you working on next week?
What am I working
on?
You're
playing hooky today?
I'm playing hooky today with you, and it's delightful. And
I
all your wonderful
Thank
crew
you.
Here. I am just humbled that you would come here and enjoy the majesty of the Thousand Islands.
It was a perfect day.
It was. It still is.
Yeah.
It's not over yet.
Yeah, no, no, it's not. The sun is setting.
The sun is, oh yes, it's going, but it's got a ways to go.
Yep.
It's low on the horizon. But yeah, I'm back in Toronto next week and fixing up all kinds of things. There's a lot of custom built-ins. There's just making older homes look fresh, but respecting the architecture. And making new condominiums look like older homes.
That's a challenge.
Very much so, but it's easily done. I like paneling. I love to use paneling everywhere. And I mean proper
traditional paneling.
Style and rail, yes. Joinery.
Yes.
Get rid of all the drywall and just put some moldings on the wall and whatnot. And properly done, too. Yeah.
You getting a lot of young customers, clients?
Young.
30-ish, 40-ish?
Yeah, 40s, I would say.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them are starved. I predicted, not to sound like I'm a genius, it's not that. I've just had 40 years in business to see the cycles of style come and go. But I said the white sage is going to end soon, because every time there's an economic depression, and I've lived through every one since 1979, every time there's an economic depression, people look for glamour. They look for style. Yes. They look for color. And sure enough, Canadian House and Home has their new cover, and it's all, oh, embrace the dark, rich colors. It's burgundy, it's emerald, it's all the things on the wall. Why? Because we're in a depression and people want some style and class.
Vibrance.
Yes.
They want some life. Color in their life.
They've got rid of the minimalism stuff, and now it's all rich tones again. And I've seen that in every recession, always, and it's back.
It's always come back? It's always bounced
back? It's back. Really? People want glamour. You know, in the Great Depression, people's escape was to look at the glamour on movies. You know,
yeah.
Oh, look, and there's Clark Gable, and there's Cary Grant, and they're all living this dream life that they couldn't have, but it was an escape. So in your home, we have the ability to create an escape. Make it theater. I like a theatrical interior. I love a theatrical interior. That doesn't mean it has to be outlandish. Just make it rich. Instead of a big vase of flowers, have some ostrich feathers or something. Like, there's so much you could do. I mean, I'm a very manly guy that I like masculine things, but you know what? It's like a knight in shining armor. You can use your sword, but you can still be a gentleman.
Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how People First Leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Know when to wield the one and know when to help the lady off the bus. There you go. So we can still have nice things. You know, there's too many people that say, oh, you know, my man cave has to be a live edge slab bar and a Stanley toolbox for a liquor cupboard. No.
The creative toolbox is a little greater than that.
Exactly.
It should be a little greater than that. Yep. And I actually would appreciate clients if they stop using digital platforms as a reference point and start paying attention to historical references.
Exactly.
As a jumping off point.
You know, if you look at the typical James Bond character, you know, he can kill somebody, but he can also have a tuxedo while doing it.
Yeah.
Wear a tuxedo and have a martini.
And having a martini.
Exactly.
Well, and I think that's been the common narrative of the conversation today is history, the importance of history. right? Yes. It started with, you know, history rewrites itself. We learned so much from history. And you talked about it again. Here's the cyclical motion of history. It went like this through the depressions and up and down. And here it is, history, folks.
Yeah. So we're coming back to a time where people are starved for some luxury that is actual traditional and not a fad, because fads do not... There's a difference between fashion and style. Styles never go out of fashion, like a Georgian house. Or,
yeah.
But a Victorian style, you know, with gingerbread, that might be out of fashion. But in terms of color, rich colors, and natural colors, I can't emphasize that enough. I'm not talking paint a house purple. I'm talking about just stick with normal jewel tones. Like, what did God make or nature make, if you don't believe in God? You know, garnets and emeralds and cobalt and sapphires. Those are natural colors, like just natural colors.
They connect with you.
They do, yeah. It's
they
fabulous.
Truly do connect with you.
I forget who said it again. My God, I've read so much, I forget everything. As I'm probably losing it too, but a man without a memory is not the same man if he's got Alzheimer's. It's the same with nations. If a nation doesn't have its memory, it's not the same nation. And the obliteration of history has done that. You know, we don't have a national memory.
It's so
culture.
True.
It's been obliterated. Everybody has to have a white interior and a white quartz. If I see any more white, I'm going to lose my mind. But anyway...
John, we're sitting on your boat here. The sun is coming down. We've been talking pretty much for the entire afternoon. And
I apologize for
that. No, no. And it's been an absolute pleasure. And we've been discussing all kinds of things, construction, politics, and everything else in between. And still, Canada is an amazing nation.
It is.
It's just unfortunate that the people who rule it will never sit down on the back of a boat with some friends and actually appreciate how amazing the nation is.
No,
they're looking at other screens to dictate other things.
They need to talk to individuals.
Yeah, they need to speak to Canadians and understand blue collar, working class, who's working hard, who wants to build, who really cares.
I think they're afraid of what they might hear.
They hear the truth. They realize that. Yeah. What is that? That quote? It's a beautiful place, worth saving for, something like that. I can't remember what it was, but I think that's how I feel about Canada these days. It's worth it, but we just have to fight for it.
Yeah, and you have to lead by example, right? Because people do need some kind of individual to look up to, whether it's you or each one of you individually. Just lead by example, do your own thing, be authentic, and let people understand that there is hope, because we can't live without hope.
Don't be too afraid of, I mean, I don't know. I'm almost 53, so I don't give a shit if anybody doesn't like me. I care if somebody likes me and they want to continue speaking with me and meet with me and discuss things with me. I like that. But if you don't like me, I'm not going to spend that much effort on it.
No.
I can't. If you don't like me, you formed your opinion.
Already, yeah.
My job right now is not to change your opinion. My job is to share information.
That's right.
Meet individuals, discuss.
And come to your own conclusions.
Yeah. Form your own opinion based on that.
And I hate bigotry where somebody refuses to change their opinion. And most of them are fed by the mainstream media. They just refuse to think of anything other than what the television told them.
Do you sit down and actually turn that on and watch that? Because I don't watch it.
Never.
I don't watch it anymore.
Never.
I've seen some clips and I'm just like, I can't believe... One, someone wrote that on a teleprompter. Mm-hmm. Two, someone else read it from a teleprompter. And three, someone recorded it and posted it out there.
No, it's outrageous.
I just don't understand how...
No, I don't watch the news anymore. I just deal with the actual substance of what they're saying, if you can find it. But, you know, I don't want anybody telling me who I should or should not vote for. I want to know their policies. Yeah. I want to know beyond that.
Let me form my opinion. Yeah. I'll make my own decision.
I mean, Mr. Trump gets a lot of bad press, and it's like, well, what did he actually do? And people say, well, he's a fascist. Well, I had this discussion the other day. Well, could you show me why is he a fascist? Well, because he is. You know. Well, I'm sorry, that's not an argument.
That doesn't make it.
Tell me why. What has he done? Well, I read that he did. Oh, you read that he did. Okay. Is there anything else? Like, Yeah. So look at the policies of what's in there now, for example, and that track record. Do you think we're on the right path? Well, it's better than him. Well, why? That's just an example of of people that are they're bigoted already. They've made up their minds, and they think it's the fashionable thing to do to just agree with whatever the media says. And we watched that in COVID. God forbid if you, like, I wouldn't wear a mask in public, and I got pilloried for it. Because I said, no, I mean, it's causing me more harm than good to wear a mask. I mean, I'm depriving myself of oxygen. It's affecting my brain.
I was surprised by how many...
You hate people. That was
how many young tradespeople did not vote the last time.
Apathy.
I was really surprised by
apathy.
That.
Apathy. And if they got off their ass, they would make changes. If the poor got up and voted, they could do so much.
I certainly hope it changes this time. I hope that all the tradespeople, every single tradesperson, young and old...
Well, even just the working poor.
Just vote. I'm not telling you who to vote. I'm just asking you to vote.
Exactly. Lowest voter turnout ever. I think the figures were, 27% people actually voted for Trudeau, but because of the vote splitting, for example, he got in with a minority.
Yeah.
But he didn't actually get a majority of the popular vote at all.
Then.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
Which basically means that if the working class, the poor people actually voted, there was probably going to be a change.
Oh,
then.
Big time. Big
but that
time.
Didn't happen, right?
But most people just bemoan their lot and think, oh, there's nothing I can do. Well, of course, you can. Yeah. You can always take one with you. Yes, just a handful, a few hundred members of parliament have destroyed this nation.
Continued.
And when we outnumber you, and we're not happy. That's how I look at it.
Scary.
Very scary, at any rate. I thank you for indulging me today and this wonderful conversation. I'm humbled and that you would even come here because you guys put on a fabulous show.
Thank you for the invite.
Well, I wasn't going to you in timely matter, so I'm glad it worked out for you to come here.
No, it's been a pleasure. You're a wealth of knowledge, so thank you for sharing what you have shared.
I want to try to do the 12 questions with him, but I didn't bring it with me, and I'm trying to remember for 650 shows. You figure I would remember these questions. But
12 questions, my God.
What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Oh, boy. I never thought of it in those terms. You mean...
A word or a phrase that you like to hear on a job site or someone shares?
But as somebody that is a practitioner of restoring so much architecture, I can't have I guess in philosophical terms, preservation.
Hmm. That's a good one.
It's not an architectural term. No, it's a philosophical term.
Yeah.
But preservation.
That's a good one.
Unless it's some 50s brutalist thing, I don't want... You can blow that up.
No.
I don't want to save that. Toronto City Hall right now, I don't like it. It can go.
Least
the old City Hall? Yeah.
Least favorite tool?
Least favorite tool. I've always hated the shaper, but I use it. Wood shaper is still terrifying.
Yeah, it is a pretty
big
scary.
Blade spinning around there. It can suck your arm right up to your elbow before you... I have a lot of respect for it. I don't fear it. It's like being at sea. I don't fear the water. I respect it. I know I can't tame it. I can ride it. Same with the shaper. You just
let it do its thing.
Don't be afraid. Or like going up on a roof. Don't be afraid. Just respect and know your risks. So,
what do you miss from your childhood?
My father and his team.
His team.
Because I would ask questions constantly. I asked questions all the time, and he died in 01, but I never got to ask enough. Because he knew, he always said he knew 5% of what his father knew. And my grandfather was born in 1889, and I had the privilege of working under him, too. He didn't die till 83. And my dad always said he knew 5% of what his father knew. And my father knew so much, I thought, man. And I probably know 1% of what my father knew. It's shocking, but how just in generations you lose so much. And that story of the King Eddie Hotel's kitchens, for example, that brilliance of having put the ovens under the front door so we will never have snow there. It's just brilliant.
What construction sound do you love?
anything that doesn't include a radio. I don't like radios on site.
I'm not a fan of radios on site either.
No,
I'm tired of them. I actually like the sounds of construction.
I like exactly just the harmony of people working happily. That's my favorite thing.
What turns you on and what turns you off in construction?
What turns me on is efficiency by bureaucracy. What turns me off is inefficiency by bureaucracy, because I find that holds up more of anything than the actual construction. We can deal with weather, but we cannot deal with some officious bureaucrat that's just being a jerk.
Gatekeeping, just stopping the process.
But there's some damn good ones that have also been very efficient and expedited things.
Favorite beverage?
Champagne, Paul Roger. Family connection, that's all.
Favorite curse word?
Bloody hell. Is that a curse word?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mode of transportation.
I'm trying to remember the question.
Mode of transportation.
Favorite mode of transportation. Or if any favorite vehicle, any mode of transportation.
Jaguar, sedans. up until 1999.
What happened? Ford. Ford happened.
No, up until 1999. Yeah, after that, they were just... Yeah.
It was Ford. Then yeah. Ford purchased it?
No, then an East Indian company bought them, and then I don't know who owns them now. Anyway.
I don't know, yeah, but it changed at that point. What occupation, other than your own, would you like to... or what profession would you like to attend or attempt?
Nothing. I enjoy nothing. What I do. I've never worked a day in my life. I enjoy what I do.
What occupation?
It comprises the whole of the visual arts.
It does,
true. From furniture to decor, right on through the whole package. I don't think of just a home as an edifice by itself. It's a whole thing.
Every tradesperson, anybody who works in construction, you guys are all artists. You men and women are all artists. Never forget that. It's as simple as that. What profession would you not like to do?
I wouldn't want to be a surgeon.
Last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Thank God you're here.
John, absolute pleasure having you on the show. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Well, I'm sure you'll come back on the show many, many more times. Oh, we'll come back here and visit.
It'll be just a heckle, but other than that.
No, it'd be good. It'd be really good. I appreciate it. Though, anything you want to ask, Jonathan, before we wrap it up?
No, it's been an honor and pleasure, so thank you. You know what? There's one question. I'm going to end up on one question. Knowing what you know today, finish the sentence. Construction needs more of...
dedication.
Love it. Thank you.
Just dedication.
You said it, man. Thank you, John. Thanks, boys, for making this happen. It's
been great. Thank you, everybody, yeah.
Thank this wonderful crew here, sound and audio and whatever. I guess that's a redundancy. Video. And
the crew that's needed to make this happen.
And wherever powers that be have made this. Thank God for Ontario Hydro. Without which... oh, guys.
And I'll let everybody know that they can come and check you out on IG under Historical Buildings Co.
Historic Building Co.
Historic Building Co.
Hysteric Building Company.
You know what it is. I'll have it right in the notes. But other than that, to get a hold of you, that's the best way to get a hold of you. Just DM
exactly.
You.
That's it. That's fine.
And I encourage everybody to go check it out, because it's an education. It's not just posts. It's an education.
Wow, you're very generous. And now we're going to barbecue and have champagne.
Nice. We're out of here. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks, guys.